Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today in the studio, we are joined by Representative Christine Watkins. Representative Watkins, it's nice to have you in studio instead of over the phone. I'm sure it's nice for you to be back in the Castle Country after what was a long 45 days for you.
Oh, it's so nice to be home. You just have no idea. Your own bed, your own kitchen, your own pets. It's just nice to be home and back to work and just doing what I want to do.
You know, I'm sure it's nice because that was one of the busiest sessions we've had in recent years up at the state legislature. 959 bills and resolutions introduced, 582 bills sent to the governor in just 45 days. And so we're here to recap everything that happened for you up at the legislature, some bills you wanted to highlight, and some other things. So thank you again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
So let's start first on kind of a fun note. Close to the end of the session, you got to spend some time as Speaker pro tempore of the House. That looked like it was an absolute blast.
It was so much fun, and it was something that, honestly, it's a rare privilege for any legislator, and I was never expecting it. And when the Speaker came down and knelt beside me on the floor and said, "Would you like to do this?" I said, "Well, heck yeah." And so I went through about a 5-minute training, and then it was just a matter of when he decided he wanted me to do it. And I'm telling you, we all get excited for the person who gets that privilege. And so they were all excited for me. I got all these pictures, and it was just a once in a lifetime honor. And I found out what the Speaker has to do all day when he's up there. And I'm like, I don't know how they do it, because there's a lot of moving parts to being the Speaker.
You know, watching those live streams of the session, trying to keep up with it, it's a struggle just to watch. So I can't imagine what it's like trying to control all the action that's going on there. And then another thing that happened this session, we were talking a little bit before we came on air, 19 new representatives. And you guys had the tough task of trying to train those freshman legislators and introduce them to what the expectations are coming into this role and what the reality actually is.
Yeah, because it's really a big difference until you get there. You don't know that we have traditions, that we have rules, whether they're written down or not. And there are written rules, and we do change them. And sometimes we change them because people get out of line and we have to make a rule or about something. So it was a training session for a lot of them, because normally we don't have that many new legislators. So it was interesting to watch them and teach them the decorum and the things that they could and could not do.
And, you know, it's fun seeing so many people wanting to get involved in politics, though, whether it be local level, state level. It's nice to see that people are wanting to get into this line of work. So it's good to see that although it's probably more than you might have wanted, it's good to see that we have people interested and willing to go up to the legislature.
Very much so.
So let's jump into your bills for a second. So you filed several during this session. It was a good session for you. And I think a good one to start off with is the one you did start off with, HB4. That was just your economic and community development base budget. So let's talk for a second. What goes in to developing a budget?
Well, what we do is we actually pass that in the fall in our appropriation committee. And then the executive appropriations refines it. And then it comes to us, and I'm chair of that committee, the House chair, and then the Senate chair passed it in the Senate. So I got to present it, and it's just a base bill so that if something happened, like what happened with COVID, if we would have had to have shut down with COVID, which we didn't, we would have a base budget. We make sure that we have that budget done within it's just very early on to the session, and we have those base bills so that if something happens, the state moves ahead and we don't fall off any cliffs or do anything we shouldn't do.
And I really like that approach to it, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Like you said, no one expected COVID to break out like it did. So it's good to have those baseline budgets developed. And then moving right along, you had HB 33, the Child Welfare Reporting Amendments, which was actually recently signed by Governor
signed.
Cox.
Yes, it was. And I was so happy for that. That's the bill that will hopefully stop the weaponizing of DCFS, because what we had were ex-spouses, ex-girlfriends, boyfriends, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, who were calling DCFS, leaving an anonymous tip saying this person is neglecting their child or children and not feeding them, et cetera, et cetera. So then DCFS has to go check it out. Nothing's wrong, but we've wasted their time. And this happens all over the state. So now, if you can't just call in an anonymous call. You have to leave your name and your phone number. And if they find out that you're doing false reports, and they just have to figure out that you've done it, they send that report to the police office, and they'll send you a letter and say you've been charged with a second class misdemeanor, and they can either fine you or put you in jail, but it's on your record. So think, only do serious reporting.
And that's something we talked about over the course of the session and leading into it, is your work with the DCFS. A lot of these bills were inspired by things you wanted to see and that implemented in that system, some changes you want to be made. And that's one of the key ones that we talked about. And we're glad to see that it passed. And then next, you had HB 79, Adaptive Driving Equipment Amendments. We've talked about this one before. That one was one that would remove sales tax on adaptive driving equipment, something which I was a big fan of. But how did that one end up going in the legislature?
It sailed through, but the only thing that happened is it didn't get funded. It had a several hundred thousand dollar little bill on it in order to implement it. So we have what we call a thing called speed dating, and I don't know why they came up with it, but there's a whole list of all the legislators and their bills and how much the bill won't pass unless it's funded. So the House was given $3 million, the Senate was given $3 million, and we vote for the bills that we like. And so we all stood up, those of us that had a bill like this, and said, this is what my bill does and why you should vote for it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I was really surprised it passed. And so that bill was funded and passed. And just so everyone remembers, if you buy the equipment brand new, you don't have to pay sales tax, or you buy a car that has already been equipped with it and from a dealer. It's not me selling to you. It has to be from a dealer.
So, again, I'm a big fan of this one. This is one that I think is going to benefit a whole lot of people. So I'm glad that you pursued this one. And then we move on to HB 83, which, out of all the bills we've talked about so far, is the first one that was unfortunately unable to gain any ground. That's the child welfare modifications. And it goes back to something we talked about over the course of the session, and that's the fiscal note, the dreaded fiscal note.
Yeah, that's... They're a killer. And I think that was the child support. Yeah, we wanted to do away with child support, but it had over a $2 million fiscal note with it. So if I want to do that one, I'm going to have to figure out where to get the money from. And that can be done. So I've got a while before the next session to see if I can figure that one out.
And then another one that we talked about before we came into this session was the technical college amendments, which did pass. So let's just give a refresher. What did that one accomplish?
Okay. The way the law was written, a technical college, UB Tech, any of our technical schools, we've got them in Tooele, well, all over. They couldn't do anything unless they came to the legislature if they wanted to build a new building or think about building a new building. So what we did was we changed it. They can plan, they can have drawings, they can figure out how much it's going to cost. They can do that now. And then they come to the legislature with that information and see if they can get the funding. So it was a biggie.
That one, like you said, it was a biggie, and it was a good one. I'm glad to see that it passed. And, you know, with the governor having to sign 582 bills sent to him, it's going to be a while before we see some of these. But there is, of course, 30 days after it gets sent to him, it just automatically goes into law. Just not as much pomp and circumstance behind that.
I think May 7th is like the date or something. If he hasn't signed it and hasn't vetoed it, it just passes.
And then let's move to another one. I had a few questions on grid enhancing technologies and advanced transmission technology. So this is one that you and Senator Hinkins collaborated on together.
This bill just says to the any of the large utilities that look at the software programs that are coming online that are available that will make it so that you can use transmission lines even better. You can actually increase their ability by 20%. And then if you have to buy, you choose that, and you can go in front of the commission, the utilities commission, and ask for permission to just recoup that cost. But this is a biggie because it costs a lot of money, takes a lot of time to build new transmission lines. So if we can use the ones we have to their best ability, then that's what we want to do.
And this goes right along with what the current plan for the state is with Operation Gigawatt, trying to increase that power production in Utah. So things like this are really important. I'm glad to see that it's our rural legislators who are pushing forward, because, I mean, if anyone knows energy, let's be honest, it's going to be the Castle Country.
It's going to be rural, for sure.
And another one that kind of garnered statewide attention, not necessarily the bad kind, you know, that you see with a lot of these bills, but that was your school week schedule amendments. That would have been the one that would have allowed you to move to 4-day school week. So that one got a few pieces ran on a statewide level. And, you know, what was this one really entailing?
The main purpose, any school or district can go to a 4-day school week. We've got Green River that still does it, probably. And we have schools in Duchesne County and all over the state that do that. What this did is it put more guardrails and more refined how they did it and how they had to reapply. They have to reapply every 3 years. And we wanted more input from the public. We didn't want them railroaded into it. And the funny thing was, I had talked to the state board school superintendent, the state superintendent, many, many times about this bill. She never told me that there was actually some people who ran it. And so this bill was gaining momentum. It was very popular. I was on many radio stations, actually, talking about it. And they had a group of 5 women from the State Office of Education come and talk to me about it. They loved the bill. They said, you know what? We already do about 70% of what you've got in here. If we incorporate the rest, and we talked about why I wanted those in there, they said, if we just incorporate that into our rules, can we do it without a bill? And I said, absolutely. That's the best way to do it. And so we agreed on it. And then, because the bill was circled, I uncircled the bill and I told the speaker, this is on the floor. We all know the best bill or the best law is the one that we don't have to do. And we worked it out. And so the bill did not need to proceed any further. And the last day of the session, they came to me and they said, we've already written it into rule. In a couple of weeks, the board will meet and they'll hopefully approve it and we're good to go.
And there you go. I like that approach. I mean, that's one of my favorite models that I learned this year covering the state legislature. The best bill is the one you don't have to write. And that's a perfect example of that. And then the last one of your bills that I want to talk about with you is the geological carbon storage amendments. That one passed both the House and the Senate. So what did that one accomplish?
Okay. A couple of years ago, we passed a bill saying that Utah could apply for primacy over Class 6 gas wells. And those are the things that we have in Duchesne and Uinta County, and probably have some over here, but a lot over there. And when they applied to the EPA, they wrote back or called back, I don't know, but they said, you know what, there has to be a fine, a punishment if someone's doing something wrong. So we had to come back through the whole process of running a bill to add that if they do something wrong, they can be fined up to $5,000 a day until they get it fixed. Now, that really isn't what we want to do, but that's what the feds wanted us to do. But we want primacy. And if you don't understand primacy, that means Utah wants to be in charge of those wells. We don't want the EPA to be in charge of them. So, of course, and they came to me the day before the last day of designating your priorities, and I had one priority left. If I wouldn't have had that, I'd have had to have sent them to another legislator who would have had a priority so that they could get it through. And as it was, that bill passed Friday evening. So it was a good one. It was needed desperately, but boy, you know, you don't get them done early. You're hoping.
Right before the clock strikes midnight, you're able to get it through. That's the best one. And, you know, looking at all the bills you introduced and all that were able to pass, I think it was a very successful legislative session for you.
Yes, I feel really good about it. I do.
And then let's move on to things that, not necessarily you did individually, but things that were accomplished by the legislature in general. And the big one that a lot of people are going to be caring about are the new tax cuts and some of the changes to Social Security that you guys were able to accomplish.
Yeah, you know, we reduced the state income tax rate to 4.5. And we've been doing a little bit every year for the last couple of years. So I liked what someone said when they were writing in an article that Utah is taking a very cautious approach. It's a little bit every year. Some states just wipe it out, and then in a year or two, they're back reinstating it because they couldn't make it without that. So we're being cautious, trying to help the people who live here. Then we had our Social Security tax. So now a couple can earn up to $90,000. If they make $90,000 or less, they don't have to pay taxes on Social Security. If for an individual person, and I believe it's $55,000. And so that's if you're just a single person. And the governor wanted to do away with it, period. But again, we have to be cautious. And we wanted to do, we could have taken it all away, but then we wouldn't have been able to have done some of the other tax cuts.
You know, it's one of those things when you're dealing with the budget, and especially when you're dealing with some of the income that the state can have, it's best to approach it with more of a pruning attitude, not a chainsaw hack it all down, because like you said, that can, you know, be back reinstating it the next year.
Exactly.
So I like the approach the legislature takes with these cuts. Another bill that we wanted to talk about has to do with water heaters. Is that correct?
Yes, and it wasn't my bill, but I've been rooting for it every time it comes through. But I don't know whether it was 2016 or 2017. The legislature passed a bill that we had to have these special ozone filter thingies on water heaters. So a water heater went from $250 to $300, to $750, $800. And we all had to pay that. And we were basically the only state that was doing this. California does it in a few places, but not the whole state. And it just irritated me. And I had so many people saying, what happened? Get rid of those. We don't need those. And they were absolutely right. So we've had legislators try to get it through. It was shot down. Well, this year they figured out how to do it so that if you live in an area where you don't worry about non-attainment, which is us, this would be Vernal is an area where they worry about the non-attainment with the ozone. Well, we don't have to worry about that. So starting May 7th, we can go back to the cheaper water heaters.
And, you know, that's one that people were asking for, and it finally got through.
Yes.
So it's good to see that a way was found to accomplish that goal. And I think the last major item accomplished by the legislature we wanted to touch on was state employee compensation.
Okay, so our state employees get a 2.5% increase, plus they get a 1% allocation for their performance bonuses. And so that's really good for them. The teachers got a 4% to the WPU. They also all got a $1,400 increase, which is part of it. Most of it is salary, and the little bit goes to their benefits that they have to pay on that. And then for the other employees in the school, and there's a list of which ones qualify, they get a one-time $1,000 bonus. But for the teachers, this is permanent on their salaries, and then whatever else their districts decide to give them.
And, you know, it's always good seeing that people are thinking about those teachers, because it feels like oftentimes they get a little left behind in some of these discussions. So it's good to see that they were able to pick up some cash in this exchange. Now, we're about a year out now from the start of the next legislative session, barring any special sessions that get called, which you never know when those are going to pop up. But all things considered, next major one can start in January. What's next? What are some of the things you want to emphasize heading in to next year?
Well, I just want everyone to know we can start filing bills for, I think it's like the first or second week in May. I haven't seen the date for sure. And literally last year, I woke up, because you can start at midnight. I woke up at midnight and went up to my computer and started filing bills, because a lot of my bills were leftovers from before. And those are some of those that I wanted to work on. There's some issues out there that I'm thinking about. One of them, I've got to check, because sometimes things that we do in Utah also have a federal arm to it, and then that makes it much more difficult to try and change anything. But because I passed so many of the bills that I had from before, I'm just waiting to see what constituents want me to do right now.
That's fair. Yeah, that's the best place to get what you need to get done is the constituent. So I appreciate you taking those concerns and vocalizing them up at the legislature. Now, Christine, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I read this, and it's true. We did some good things in the legislature this year, and we stopped some things that should not have gone through. And some of the bills, I've received emails from people saying, oh, you shouldn't have voted for this bill or whatever. One of the things that happens is there are some bills that are going to pass no matter what because they belong to the Speaker or the President of the Senate. But we make sure if it comes to us and it's really not great, that they make the changes that we need done. So one time you and I are going to have a whole discussion on what we did on voting changes. So, because that could take a whole session. Okay.
Sounds good. Well, we're excited to have you back. You're always welcome here in the studio. So Representative Watkins, thank you again for taking the time out of your day to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Representative Christine Watkins. We were putting the final touches on this legislative session by doing a recap of everything that happened. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.